Now the sheets that you have in front of you, really we have to start with the second sheet. They should have been stapled in a different way, but that second sheet is that is the first one. The one that you have on top is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the laws of the release of debts. We're going to talk about a mitzvah that comes once every 7 years, and the date of its approach is coming at the end of the Shmita year. All loans are released, go into remission, are cancelled. If somebody owes us money, we don't have the right to ask for repayment. That's the biblical law, and of all things, that halacha appears in this week's Sedra, Parshas Re'eh. So we're going to read the text of the Torah, and then we will elaborate on it and see what is the meaning of this halacha, and what is it that we do today. This, of course, will lead us to Pruzbul, and I'm sure that you will most probably be hearing shiurim left and right about Pruzbul. You won't need to hear about it for another 7 years. All right. In the parasha, it says, and you will notice in a little while, you'll notice why I did what I did. Sometimes I do things with prior intent. The parasha that we have to learn begins chapter 15, Miketz Shev Hashanim, at the end of 7 years. But I just want to show you, for a reason that will become apparent later, that two psukim earlier it says Miketzei Shalosh Shanim, at the end of 3 years, and this is every 3 years. The halacha is Totziya Kol Masar Tfuatcha, take out all of the tenth of your grain, Vashanahi, and that year Veinachto B'Shodecho, and you are to place it out in the gates. Every year, there are different kinds of ma'aser, tenths, that have to be given. There's the ma'aser rishon, is the tenth that's given to the Levi every year. A tenth of the produce of your field have to go to the Levi. And then, in the first and second, fourth and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, there is also ma'aser sheni. Ma'asar Sheni is another tenth that is taken, and with that tenth, you are supposed to take to Yerushalayim and eat it there. And if you can take it all to Yerushalayim, you have the right to redeem it with money, take the money to Yerushalayim with your family, Gesundheit, buy food there and eat the Ma'asar in Yerushalayim. In the sixth and in the third and in the sixth year, instead of Masar Sheni, that is eaten in Yerushalayim, there's Masar Oni, a tenth of your produce that goes to the poor. Now, you have to pay up all of your back taxes at the end of the third year. The Torah here is saying at the end of 3 years, if you still have Maaser Rishon in the house, you still have Masar Oni, you still have Masar Sheni, you have to take it all out and make sure that it reaches its destination. It has to be given out. That's it. After that date, everything has to be distributed. And then it says, Ubo HaLevi, Ki Ein Lo Chelet V'Nachlo Imach, the Levi who does not have a portion in the land with you, the Levi never got a portion of land of his own, so in this sense, he is like the poor. And the ger, the stranger, and the yosom, and the almana, the orphan, and the widow, asher b'sharecho, who are in your gates, the achlu v'sodeyu, from what you have in your house that has to be distributed, they will eat, and they will be sated, l'man yivarecho, Hashem elokecho, so that God bless you, b'chol ma'aseh yodecho, everything that you do with your hands, asher taseh. This, the blessing is that for everything that you give, boy, you're going to get back a great deal for it. Okay. That's not the halacha that we're dealing with, but you will see soon that I only wanted to learn this because of one word. Okay, don't worry about it now. I'll bring it back. Now, this is the parasha of Shemitah. In Torah, we were already told in Parashat Mishpatim in Shmos, and then, of course, in Parashat Baharim by Yitro, we are taught the laws of Shemitah, that you're not about to plant, and you're not about to plow during Shemitah, whatever grows on its own, the fruits of the field, a hefka, they belong to everybody. All of the laws of Shemitah, which are many. We are spared a great deal of it because we don't own land, and because we have Otsar Haaretz or all sorts of other organizations that provide for us for better or for worse fruits and vegetables. But we don't have the problem of being a farmer in Shemitah. But there are a lot of halachas that relate to the way we make use of that which has the sanctity of Shemitah. You can't ruin it, you can't throw it out. It has to be treated tenderly as something which is holy. You have to be careful. All the fruits now, I think all the fruits in the country have Kedushat Shviat, the sanctity of Shviat. Now, we have a problem with grapes. If take out some grapes, there's one that's going to fall on the floor. And I go zooming after it to pick up that little grape color from the floor. You understand? It has Kedushat Shvias. You have to watch it. And when you eat a peach, so, you know, you shouldn't leave too much over on the pit. I mean, there are a lot of halachas with regard to Kedushat Shvias. There is one halacha of Shemitah which was not written about or told to us neither in Shmos nor in Vayikra, and here it's told to us now. Mikay Shemashonim, at the end of 7 years, Taseh Shemitah, you shall make Shemitah. Let's use the word release, cancel. Some use the word remission, but I don't know, that has a very strange connotation now. A release. In a sense, it's just like Shemitah of the land means you don't use land. Here is another Shemitah, a right that you have that you will not exercise. You remove it. Something that slips from your hand or falls out of your hand is something that's nishmat, to the side. Watch. This is the matter of this. I don't like that word, but there they have it here. The matter of the release. Here they use remission. Shomot kol bal mashe yado asher yasher v'reyeyu. Very difficult words to translate, but I'll tell you exactly what it means, and then we'll read it. Kol bal mashe. Mashe means somebody owes me money and I have the right to demand it from him, to collect it. Kol bal mashe. Everybody who has the right to collect money from somebody because the person owes him the money. Now take the word that comes before, which is shomot. And the word that comes after yado, shomot yado, he has to release his hand. The one who lends money has his hand over the one who has borrowed the money. He has a claim on him. That's what the hand represents. I have a claim on the fellow who owes me money. I lent you money, you have to pay me back. Shomot yado. The creditor has to remove his hand, release his hand from anything or from anybody who he would otherwise have the right to ask for money. Lo yigo setrei einu ve'et achiv. Here comes a second halacha. The second halacha is you don't even have the right to ask him for the money. It's not only a matter that the borrower has absolutely no responsibility to pay the lender because the loans have become cancelled by Torah. The loans are cancelled by Torah. The malva, the creditor, doesn't have a right to ask for the money. Lo ye gos et re'ehu ve'eta achiv. You can't go ahead and ask for money from your friend or your brother. Ki korosh shmita l'Hashem, because God has called it a year of release. The halacha is simple. It means that at the end of the Shemitah year, any money that is owed by the by anybody, and remember, we're talking, as we will say, we're talking only about loans. If an employer owes salary money, that's not included in the release of loans. No. You know, the fella doesn't pay the Elul wages until after Rosh Hashanah. Says, well, I don't have to pay your wages. No, wages are not included. What about the corner makolet man, where you have a cheshbon? You come in, he takes out the card, and he writes the date and how much money you owe. Hakofat hachanut, credit that you get in the store, is also not included because that's not a loan. That's money you owe. You owe for what you took. That's not a loan. You know, we can differentiate between two words in Hebrew: a milveh or a chov. A milveh is a loan. A chov is a debt. A debt can be for a lot of reasons. I didn't borrow any money from anybody. I bought something from you and I haven't paid you yet. That's a chov. I went into the makolet and I haven't paid my makolet due. That's a chov, not a milveh. And the Torah releases and cancels loans. There are certain conditions under which my credit at the makolet can turn into a loan. If the fellow in the makolet has made, you know, he adds up the whole cheshbon on his what do you call those old things? What? Adding machines. That sounds like from centuries ago. On the adding machine, and then he says, okay, or it's the end of the month, if there's a particular date at which you have to pay, so then that credit can become loan, because now I'm supposed to pay, and I didn't pay, then it means I'm, in a sense, borrowing the money from you. But all right, you don't get worried about anything. We'll take care of everything. There's also the question of if I have deposits in the bank. Deposits in the bank means the bank owes me money. In other words, it's good, by the way, if the bank owes you money. Usually, it's the other way around. You owe the bank money. Now, what happens with those loans, one way or the other? In a classic Shemitah situation, it could possibly mean that all of this becomes completely cancelled, even though there are a number of Gedolei HaPoskim who have said, and I believe that there's a great deal of merit to it, and it's based on the last few words that we learned in the Pasuk. Lo yigos es re'ehu ve'sachiv. You're not allowed to ask for the money from your friend or your brother. A bank is a public corporation. I can't walk over to the manager and say, Shimon, that's my bank manager's name, Shimon, give me my money. Shimon didn't take any money from me. There's a corporation. And maybe the law of Shemitah, therefore, doesn't apply to a bank altogether. By the way, we're going to take care of all of this, and we're going to explain the background to this. We're going to take care of it all by writing a proof book. Now, women who have their own account in the bank have to have a prosbul made just like anybody else. The prosbul is going to be the means by which we avoid the cancellation of loans. That's what we're talking about. The great takana, the great enactment of Hillel the Elder, 100 years before the destruction of the Second Temple. But wait, I'm running ahead of myself. Okay, now. Es hanochri tigos. You're permitted to ask money from a guy. If you lent money to a non-Jew, you have a right to ask him for the money. That loan is not cancelled. Es hanochri tigos. Now, this is one of those psukim that has not only never been understood, but I think that it has intentionally been misunderstood, that there's a viler word that I'm trying to think of. It has been completely misinterpreted, out of context, in a vicious manner. The impression when you read it is, the guy, go after him. You press him up against the wall. You squeeze every last bit of blood with the pound of flesh out of him. That's not what the Pesuk is saying. The Pesuk is saying that God has said that when the beginning of the seventh year comes, your fellow Jew, your mishpucha, you cease to ask them for any loans. All their loans now become completely released. He's not in the mishpucha. As hanochri, you may, in other words, we might have thought that maybe all loans in the world are cancelled, and therefore, even a guy. No. You may continue to do business with him as usual, in the normal way. But it's not something anti-Gentile, or, you know, like the dirty guy you compress. There was never such intention on Torah's part at all. Es hanochri tigos, v'asheyi yelecho et achicha. But that money of yours, which is by your brother, and he owes it to you, tashmeit yadecho. Release your hand. Get your hands off of him. It means even more than that. It means the power that a creditor has over a debtor. That power, which is represented by the yad, that has to be removed. All right. Next step. What does miketz mean? What does miketz shalosh shanim mean? We know what it means. But the Eben Ezra says the following. Miketz sheva shanim. The Eben Ezra says, mitchilat hashana. From the beginning of the year, there happens to be an opinion, and it's quoted by Rabbeinu Osher, one of the Rishonim in Masechta Gittin, that all loans become cancelled at the beginning of the Shemitah year. Which means that one should have written a Kruzbul at the end of the sixth, before the beginning of the seventh year. It's too late now! 12 months have passed. Remember, it was a leap year. 12 months have passed already, like it's too late. So the Eben Ezra says, Mitzilas Hashana. And he says that's the men of Digduk said that. Strange. Because the Gemara says, and so says the Mishnah, Ein Shemitah Mishametet Elo Bisopo. The Shemitah year releases all loans at the end of the year. That means the following. You're going to get those of you who light candles Erev Rosh Hashanah at candle lighting time. You know, there are those who light candles afterwards when they come home from shul. But as at the moment that the sun sets this Erev Rosh Hashanah, all loans become cancelled. The end of the Shemitah year. And as Eben Ezra said, the beginning of the Shemitah year. Why did he come to that conclusion? I can't answer that question. But I may point out what went wrong over here. And here comes my chiddush. Thus I'll tell you. Wait. The Ksav HaKabbalah says there's a difference between the word mikitzei and miketz. The word miketz means an abrupt end. Mikitze means toward the end. If it would have said Mikitze Shevashonim, it could have meant when the cycle of 7 years is about getting ready to end, it could be at the beginning of the seventh year. For example, in Tanakh language, you can't say, I left something miketz habayit, at the end of the house. Miketz habayit means outside the house. If I say it is, and we have this in Tanakh, miketze habayit, that's fine, that's okay. It's miketze means toward the end, not the end. Now you understand what I was telling you at the beginning. Why did the Torah give the parasha of removing your ma'aser? Take a look at two psukim before this parasha. How does it begin? How does Mishneh begin? Mikitze shalosh shanim. And this halacha of Shemitah is miketz sheva shanim. You know what? I think that the Torah placed the two parashiot next to one another. Take note of the fact that in the first one, Torah wrote Mikitze, and in Shemitah writes Miketz, in order to tell you that these are two different words. And what can be the only difference between Miketz and Mikitze? Mikitze means toward the end. Miketz means the absolute end. The absolute end is the line at which you are over to the other side. Miketz therefore means the moment of sunset on Erev Rosh Hashanah. That's the end of 7 years. There is no other end to 7 years. If you're saying toward the end, not at the end, so the end could have begun a year ago. A year ago. So that the problem with the Evan Ezra is not so much the grammar, even though he is the great grammarian, and he should. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are those who will be able to defend his grammar, but they certainly cannot defend his halacha, because the Mishnah says very clearly, Shvir Mishametet B'sofa. Shemitah cancels loans at the end of the year. Yes?
Well, if you say to the end of the year, the question supposed is somebody takes a loan from somebody in the middle of the Shemitah year.
If somebody takes a loan 5 minutes before sunset on Erev Rosh Hashanah at the end of Shemitah, that loan will be cancelled 5 minutes later.
Yeah, but according to the Evan Ezra,
according to the Evan Ezra, so there what he will invoke is the following, that during the entire seventh year you're not allowed to ask for payment of the loan. The whole seventh year you can't. By the way, I'm still waiting to hear. I signed on with a certain group that is collecting money in order to give loans to people in need and to permit that loan to lapse. That my prusbul will not include that loan. The prusbul is the legal document which saves me from losing the money that I've lent out. But wait a minute, there's a din in the Torah over here. The Pasuk here says that the loan should be released. I have the opportunity to fulfill that mitzvah. If I lend 100 shekels to somebody and in the end Shemitah comes, that's it, it's gone. It's not the same like the guy in New York who buys 2 square inches of land in Eretz Yisrael in a field that's not going to be worked all year. And he's sitting there, and he is fulfilling the mitzvah Shemitah because his little piece of land, most probably, that isn't worth the land it's on, is not going to be worth during the year. Over here, I'm giving away money as a loan, and it simply is not going to be released. That money, I want somebody to have it. That's right. Yes? What about what?
The Nachri, how do you handle that?
The Goy? The non-Jews. Oh, so the Torah said, Es ha-Nachri tigos. You may continue to ask If there's a non-Jew who owes you money, that is not canceled by Shemitah year. By the way, it fits in similar to the category of, there's another pasuk that of course the non-Jews have always attacked us for. It says you're not allowed to take interest from a fellow Jew. You lend a Jew money, you're not allowed to take interest. But it says, Hanochdi Tashich, from the guy, you can take interest. In other words, therefore, this is of course license for all Jews to be a bunch of Shylocks, you understand? Just eat up those goyim and take all the usury and the ribbis and interest you can out of them. That was not the point. That's not the point here. You know what the point really is? The point really is that Jews are to serve as a model for the nations, a light unto the nations. Take a look at how we, at least according to Torah, are supposed to conduct ourselves within the Mishmucha. Take a look at all the chesed organizations over here. Do you necessarily have that in the non-Jewish world? Or is half the world starving when there's enough food throughout this world to make sure that nobody will starve? Where is the great Gemilas Chesed? Nations have to go out and do something for half of Africa is going to die in the next 10 years. So anybody losing sleep of it?
No.
There's probably some Hollywood starlet who wants to make a name for herself will start bringing food to the Lower Congo. I don't know. No. The model is, if a fellow Jew needs money, I'm going to lend him, I'm going to give him a gemach. That's what you do. You have people that need money, are in need, go take care of them. Like we take care. By us, there's a halacha that at the end of 7 years, loans are released. Do you know what that halacha meant in the times when Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael? Do you know how I see the meaning of the halacha? That two things, two aspects of it. One is the Orachayim. There's an Orachayim in Parshat Mishpatim who says the following: In kesef talve et ami, if you are going to lend money to my people, Pedush. So I'm going to tell you what he says. He says, if you see that you got a lot of money, you're not going to be able to spend all the money you have. You're going to need, your great-grandchildren, maybe you'll make a bite into it. But you have extra money. You have more money than you need. You know what you should do with your excess money? You should lend it to a fellow Jew who is in need of money. You know what you have to know? That money that you don't need in order to support your family is not really your money. That money is being held by you in escrow by God in order to give to the person who needs. Lend the person who needs. This is not that which belongs to you. That belongs to the others. You know who? Ha'oni imach, the poor amongst you. And that's why it says, you'll see later, patoach tiftach, open up your hand. You open up your hand, so he should take. That's his. And then there's another thing he says that the Torah wants you to know. Don't lord it over the poor and think that you're better than him, because you're not giving him something that's yours. You happen to be giving him something that's his. I mean, that's quite a way to look at it. Oh my, if the nations of the world would look at their responsibilities to fellow human beings in this way, why would this be a better world in which to live? And that's why it says, lo tia lo kenosha. When you lend money to somebody, Torah says you're not supposed to act like a creditor. You know? I'm going to take you to court. I'm going to send Hotzal the Poal after you. You know, can't do that. Yes.
Year after year, a person borrows the money, continuously borrows, say up to say 3 or 4 loans.
Yeah.
The teacher comes along. Are those loans canceled? If it's more than one loan?
As many loans as they are.
Yeah,
every last penny that somebody owes, he no longer owes. All right, so wait a minute. You're raising a question there.
Right.
I'll tell you what your question is. Yeah, go ahead.
What happens if you owe yeshiva tuition and you haven't paid back yeshiva tuition?
Good discussion. You owe yeshiva tuition. All right. What happens if you made a pledge to UJA?
Right.
Tzedakah or chov? That you got it right. That falls into the category of chov, a debt, not a loan. These are two separate ideas in halacha: a debt and a loan. Yeshiva tuition, you got to pay. By the way, if you don't pay, your kids won't be going to school. Just remember that. Okay. So now, first of all, what we've said is that Miketz Shevach Shonin means the end of the Shmita year. We've told you the Or HaChaim, and then I want to tell you my own take on it as well. Imagine at the time of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael in biblical times, time of the Beit HaMikdash, it may very well be that the Shemitah year during which the man who owns fields may very well have had extreme difficulty making a living that year. And he had to borrow. I mean, if it was not a good year, and there weren't abundant crops, that year was a complete loss. And the only way that he made that his way through that year was by borrowing money. Comes the beginning of the next 7-year cycle. Do you know how he begins that cycle? With a sense of absolute hopelessness. He's never going to get out of the cycle of debt. So along comes the Torah and says, no. You can start your financial life at the beginning of the new Shemitah free of any loans. Now, what's going to happen to the poor creditor? What did Shakespeare say? Neither a lender nor a borrower be. All right, so over here, the lender has it good, but the borrower is of the heart itself. The borrower is having a problem. Didn't we always make those mistakes since we were little kids? Borrow and lend and borrow. Yeah. Okay, all right. Borrow me some money, you know. Still, we learned that as kids. The lender, the Torah takes care of the lender, of the borrower. I still can't get it. Been an auction, I think. But the fellow who lends him the money, so I'm not going to use those words anymore. The fellow who lends the money. So now, as far as the Or HaChaim is concerned, he's not lending his own money to the poor. He's lending the poor the money that belongs to him. That's what he is doing. Let's just go another few seconds. Et hanochni tigos v'ashe yelechot achichot tashmei todecho. To get through what we have to do, let's go to Pasuk 7. Ki yeh b'cho evyon, when there will be a poor man amongst you, mi'achad echecho, one of your brothers, v'achad shorecho, in one of your gates, in one of your cities, v'archecho, in the land asher Hashem Elokecho noten loch, in the land that God, your God gives to you, lo ta'ameitz et liv babecha. Don't harden your heart, v'lo tikpot yorcha, and don't close your hands tight, may achicha ha'evyon, from your brother the poor. Kipotach tiftach et yodach alo. You should open up your hand to him. V'ha'avei tavitenu, and lend him. Dei machsoro asher yechsar lo, enough for what he's lacking, as much as he needs. Don't close your hands. Don't harden your heart. He shomelecha. This pasuk is an unbelievably powerful pasuk. He shomelecha. Beware. Beware. Ten year dovarim levavcha b'liyal, lest there will be an evil thought in your heart. Lema. You're going to say to yourself, Korvo Shnat Hasheva, the seventh year is coming close. Shnat Hashmita, it's the year of the release of loans. V'ro einecha v'achicha ha'evyon, and your eye is going to be bad when looking upon your poor cousin, your brother who's poor. Ah, he's going to borrow money from me now. Few months to Shmita. It's 5 minutes before the Shkia on Erev Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to lend him money now. V'lo titei lo. And you're not going to give him. You understand? By the way, I don't believe that there is another pasuk like this in Torah. Lest there be an evil thought in your heart. Maybe it's a justified thought. No. Torah says this is evil. The Kora Alecha Hashem, he will call out against you to God. V'hoyo b'chochet, you'll have sin. Nosom titen lo, give him. V'lo yeda levavcha b'sitcha lo, and you shouldn't give it to him with a bad heart. Give it to him with a smile. Ki b'glal ha'dover azeh yivarechuch Hashem elotecho d'chol ma'asecho d'chol mishmach yadecho. Because of this, that's in the promises of God. Because of this, you're going to lend a fellow money, you speak to you, and you don't have a clue whether you're ever going to get it back. For this, God is going to bless all of your endeavors. All right? This is quite a puzzle. Lest there be an evil thought in your heart. So the Mishnah says the following. In the Sefer Shviyos, the Mishnah says the following. Go find it now. Mishnah says, Hillel Hazakeh, Hillel the elder saw. They reached a point in time, Sheninuhu on Milahalvos. People stop lending money because of the release of loans. And if they stop lending money, then you know what they're doing? They are going against a negative commandment that says, lest there be in your heart an evil thought. And he will call against you to God, and God is going to listen to the cry of the one who doesn't have the money that he needs. This is a terrible aveda, not to give money. And Hillel, the elder, saw that people were not lending money. Omad v'hitkin pruzbul. He got up and he made a takana, he made an enactment called pruzbul. And what is the pruzbul? The pruzbul is a document that says that a man, in a sense, is giving over all of his loans to Bedin. Hareini Moshe Lachem, I'm giving over to you the Bezdin in Yerushalayim under Rabbi Amar, Rabbi Baichovsky, Rabbi Bar Chaim, the Bezdin of Yerushalayim. I'm giving all my debts over to you, and that I should be able to collect the debt whenever I choose to do so. Pruzbul has the power to control the release of the loans. The loans are not released. How do you like that? Now, I wonder what happened in the time of Hillel. Did they attack Hillel viciously? What are you talking about? There's a din in the Torah that says the loans are supposed to be released. So you found a legal loophole. You know what? This is the first Heta Mechira in history. You found a legal loophole by which you're able to make sure that the loans are not going to be released. And you know what you're doing? You know whose side you're taking? You're taking the side of the evil people who in their heart don't want to lend money. What's Hillel doing? What's Hillel doing? Huh? He wants what? He wants to encourage loans. He wants to encourage loans. In other words, there's a problem over here. The problem over here is a twofold problem. One, the poor won't have, and the rich who do have are going to be owed. They're not going to lend the money, and therefore they're going to be over on the terrible avera that the Torah says, lest there be evil in your heart. The terrible thing. So you have to know the following. The Gemara asks the question, Umi ikimidi, how can there be something of this sort? That the Torah says the loans are released. And along comes Hillel and says, no, the loans are not released. How can Hillel stand up against the law of Torah? Torah says all of those loans are released. Mikate Shabbat Shonim Tase Shmita. But no, Hillel says he got himself his legal document over there that hands all, it symbolically hands over all of my loans to Bet Din. So when I go to collect, it's not me who's collecting the money from the fellow who owes me the money. I'm acting as the agent for the Bet Din. Very fine legal loophole. But how do you simply do away with the halacha of Torah that way? Amar Abaya says, the only reason Hillel was able to do this is because Shmita Bizman Hazeh is not Minat Torah. Shmita Bizman Hazeh is Midr Rabbanan. Because Shmita is dependent on Yovel. Yovel depends on the presence of all of Israel in Eretz Yisrael. From the time that the 2.5 tribes, Reuven, Gad, and a half Shevet of Manasseh, during the period of the first Beit HaMikdash, were exiled by Ashur out all the way into the Harei Choshech of I don't know where, India, Tibet, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan. From that time on, there was no Yovel anymore, and there was no Shemitah. But along came our rabbis, and you know what they did? Jews will forget about Shemitah. Shemitah today is Midrabanan. It's a rabbinic enactment. And just like Hillel was able to make a prosbul, only because Shemitah of loans was only rabbinic. It means the following. Minat Torah, when they came back by the chaining time of Hillel, 100 years before the destruction of the Second Temple, there was no Shemitah Minat Torah. But the rabbis, Kedei Shelo Tishtakach Torah Shemitah in Yisrael, in order that Shemitah should not be forgotten, you know what they did? They instituted Shemitah Midrabanan. Our Kitten Shemitah today is Midrabanan.
When did they start counting?
The counting continued throughout. The Mishnah even says when they came back, Tantaya Bai Cheney, Manu Shmitin, they counted Shmitin year after year. Mind me, I have an interesting sidelight on that. Like this. And the rabbis also instituted the halacha that loans become cancelled by the end of Shmitin. It's Midrabanan. So now, the purpose that our rabbis did this was in order that we should not forget about Shemitah. They were hoping that there would not be another problem. The problem that may arise is that, listen, people are not going to want to give loans. When Hillel saw that the solution of making Shemitah of loans, the Rabbanan, was creating another problem that was even more serious, that people were not lending money and those who needed money didn't have it. So therefore, with the power invested in him by Torah, he went ahead and made the takana of Pilsbury. So the whole thing is because it's the Rabbana. Why do you think a hetem chilek could not work if Shmita would be Minat Torah? Yes.
Without a Pilsbury, would a person have been able to repay a loan if he wanted to? And would the lender be able to take that loan?
Excellent question. This is a Mishnah. I'll read the Mishnah. Hamazir chol d'shmias, a lender who returns a borrower. It's unbelievable. You know what? You better start learning Hebrew. A lover who returns a loan after the Shemitah year. Ruach Chachamim Noche Heimenu. Our rabbis, the spirit of our rabbis is happy with him. And you know what has to happen? When there was no Prusval, and even now it can be done. The Malva is supposed to say to the Lova, Mishametani. You know, you're released from the loan. But you know what? The Lova is supposed to say, Af Al Pi Ken. Even though I may be released from the loan, I want to pay. Now that the Gemara goes to say that if somebody, a Lova, doesn't say that, somebody should go to the Lova and read him the Riot Act and tell them, listen, go back there and give him the money again and say, Af Al Pi Ken.
After the
Shemitah year. After the Shemitah year. In other words, just because there's a legal release doesn't mean that you have to take advantage of it. If you have the money to pay, Amar Zechol B'Shvi'is to return the money, Ruach HaChomim Nochem Menem. The rabbis are happy with him. Alright. I thought of something while I was talking to you, just an interesting historic sidelight. As I was learning, I went through the halachas of Shemitah in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which is our next page. I don't know whether they're going to make it through it. We're going to get there. You know, we're always we'll do it another time. And then I also learned the Aruch HaShulchan. And both of them say the same thing, completely independent of each other. Maybe I can find it for you in the Kitzur. There, my brother. There. It's right there someplace. That the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says. Oh yeah. In the first halacha. Haskamat Rov HaPoskim. Most of our poskim have decided the Shmitas Ksafim No Heges Gambis Van Azer. Batil the Chutzlars. By the way, the release of loans applies today, even outside of Eretz Yisrael. That means we're talking about somebody who didn't make a Prusbul. If you didn't write a Prusbul, then anybody who owes you money doesn't have to pay you money. Or, on the other side, you didn't make a Prusbul, then you can't go ahead and ask somebody to repay you the loan. That's it. Va'afilu v'chutzartz. You have to hear this very carefully. There was a period of a few hundred years, it seems, that people didn't seem to keep this halacha. Our great people made a terrible tumult about this. And there were those who found reason for the minig why Jews didn't keep the halacha. She sunken al ktsas mekilin. There was somech on some of the people who were mekil. The Aruch HaShulchan gives a very fine explanation of why there was this period of time in which Jews they didn't make a prosbul and they just went ahead and continued to ask for the repayment of loans. Even though mitarabonon, there's a halacha of shmitas ksafim. But we won't talk about that now. וקצת מהם תוכל עולם יצחוס על המנית. שעשם פעם זה, אבל מי שרוצה לדעתיק במצווס, ובדי מחויב לעשות כדעס רוב הפוסקים, anybody who wants to be careful about the performance of the mitzvah certainly has to do what is the opinion of most of our deciders in Zichrono Lerocha, ובפרט, זה יש כנער, you can make a prosbul, you can make a prosbul, why should you go ahead and ask for money back, where there may be a doubt whether you're allowed to ask for it or not. If you can do it with a heter, do it with a heter. B'frat sheyuchal etaken et hadavar al yedei prosbul, you can correct it through a prosbul, below your holy date seder, and he's not going to lose anything by it. Make a prosbul, and the prosbul therefore gives you the right now to ask for your money back. Now, the next line, Ushnas hashmita hoysel b'shnas. Oh, they did the wrong thing. The smarty pants is over here. God Almighty, what did they do? I'll tell you what the original Kitzur Shulchan Aruch wrote. Can't do what they did. I didn't know that. Notice, the original Kitzur Shulchan Aruch said, Ushnas hashmita hoysel b'shnas tof reish lamid hei. V'tiyeh in Yetz Hashem, Bishnas Tov Shin Mem Beis. Why is that? Let me explain what that is. They updated the Shulchan Aruch for the time that they printed this edition of the Kesef. The next guy who's going to print the next edition is going to put in the next Shmita and the previous Shmita, and they'll keep changing the Shulchan Aruch forever. And they don't understand the historic significance of writing it again as the Kesef Shulchan Aruch did. Tov Reish Lamed Hei was 1875. Shemitah, the previous Shemitah, he said, was in 1875. And the next Shemitah is going to be in Tov Shin Mem Beis, which is going to be 1882. What's the significance of this? Because when I learned the Aruch HaShulchan, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, the previous Shemitah was Tav Reish Lamed Hei, and the next Shemitah is going to be Tav Shin Mem Beis. It means the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and the Aruch HaShulchan were writing their works at the Erech the same time, someplace between Tav Reish Lamed Hei and Tav Shin Mem Beis. The other historic significance, of course, is one of the most famous Shemitahs in all history is the next one. The next one was Tav Shin Mem Tes, 1889. Why is Tav Shin Tarpat? No, not Tarpat. Tar, something up. What was the significance of 1889? That's the first Hetem Akira. Because during the 1880s, the colonias began. There are those, I think, I'm not sure. With the Petach Tikva begun already, but Chadeira, Gedeira, Mikve Yisrael, Baron Rothschild and others had already financed the establishment of colonias. And most of the colonias were religious Jews, you understand. And they didn't know what are they going to do if they're not going to work. That year, everything that they had built up over the previous 6 years, I mean, this was the first beginning of really working the land in Eretz Yisrael. It would all be lost. Everything was lost. They wouldn't make it through the year. They'd stop. So the question was brought to Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Schwechter, who was the Gedol HaPoskim in Europe, and he, together with Rabbi Yehoshua Kutner and another, made the Hetem Achira. It was really a Rav Halevi from Yafo who had come up with the Hetem Achira, and before him, about 100 years earlier, there was a Sfardi Rav in Chevron who had come up with it, and then ultimately he sent the Shaila to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, and that was the decision that they made. So there's just a little history thrown in, and here they robbed us. They robbed us of the history. The Aruch HaShulchan and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch were writing between 1875 and 1882. All right, wait. You know, once we're on this page, let's go.
Yeah,
another few halachas. Shvius mishamet is called milta. Shvius releases all loans. You see the word that he used? Milta. Loans. Bein milta al peh, regardless of, it's a verbal loan. In other words, I give somebody 100 shekel. We didn't write a document. There's no shtar. Bein milta b'shtar, even if there's a full document written. Even if it says in the document, I'm lending you 10,000 shekel, and your house is mortgaged for it, which means already, you know, this is a real serious loan. Doesn't make any difference. Shemitah, the end of Shemitah wipes it out. What happens if you give money to somebody to do business with it? So here is a din in Shulchan Aruch that says half of it is called loan and half of it is called business, which means on the half that is called loan, you couldn't ask for that money back. Shadim shechetz of milva v'chetz of pikadon, hachetz shehu milva mishametas, the half that's considered loan is released, removed. Hachetz shehu pikadon einu mishametas, but the half that I left with the person to do business with, that's not called loan. So that's where the shaila with banks come up. Because especially banks, if we put money into the bank, so it works with a heter iska. And if it's a heter iska, so maybe the same halacha should apply. I'm doing business with the bank. So there they say the bank is different than a private individual because the bank isn't an individual. Some would say they're not even mentioned. You understand? But they are a corporate body that don't fall into the Torah category of Ochiv. Certainly not. Or Reyehu, friend. Here is a case where a loan is not released. If he gives me a guarantee for it, he gives me a maskin. In other words, I lend somebody a sum of money and he gives me his gold Rolex watch. Then, when the year is Shemitah arrives, I can ask him after Shemitah for the money back, because that's not called a loan. This is considered something that is already collected because I have the Rolex. Just like when if Prusbul means that I'm giving the power to Bet Din, I'm not collecting the money, it's Bet Din that's collecting it. Vim Hilvoa Maskin Karka, yes, the Zechi Luke Din, you don't have to worry about that. Orev Shaparola Malva, the Kermit Shaparola Aloga, Leorev Higiash Nazar Shemitah, Mishami. If I'm a guarantor for somebody else's loan, fella didn't pay, comes to me, he wants the money from me. I'm a good guarantor, so I pay the loan. When I pay the loan, that has same din of a loan. I'm in place of the borrower. The borrower. I'm in place of the borrower, which means the borrower, now owes me that money. Along comes Shemitah. Then I don't get it back. Anything that comes by the power of borrowing remains a loan. Another minute or two? No. Halach the hay, you don't have to worry about. Vav, you don't have to worry about. You know what? Turn on to the back page. I'm going to do this first. Pet Vav. That's what this whole shiur was about. Prusbul ain't on the shamit. If a person has signed a prusbul, the loans are not released. Umarwa prusbul. What is prusbul? Hamalva holechetz of shlosha b'nei Torah. The malva goes to three scholars. Sheyu bedin. They should be a bedin and says to them, Atem dayonim, you judges, most of aminochem, I hand over to you shekol chov sheyeshli, that any loan, anything that's owed to me, I'll plony this one, that one, she'egvel tachovot, I should be able to collect those debts, kol zman she'erza, as long as I want, v'heimot tosim lo prusbul v'zeh aloshim, and they write for him a prusbul, and such is the text, The most of Kolosa, Tichon Avino, the three of us sat down together, for us a plumbing a Malva, this Malva, this lender, this lender came before us and said, Moserani, I give hand over my loans to you, Ushloshdam Khotman Lamata, three of them signed down at the bottom, either as Dayanim or as witnesses. And the Cholim Rasa says you can even do this at the end of the year. That is Be'ered Rosh Hashanah Kodem Shkias Achala. Yeshua Mishayim Sifas Dafta Litav Saprusbal El Dai Mashu Enelzen. There is even an opinion that says if I say it verbally to three people, that is also good. You will most probably receive. There will probably be floating all around town in another 2 weeks. There will be all sorts of Prusbals. And we'll take out the time somewhere or other along the line to make sure that everybody who has to make a prosbul makes a prosbul. Unless, of course, if nobody owes you any money, or everybody owes you money, but you don't want it back, then you don't have to make a prosbul. But otherwise, Jews make a prosbul. That's the shir. So remember. You have Rabbi Kahana and Rabbi Baumel coming, and I can't wait to get back to you. Ah, I knew somebody would ask that question. I'm going far enough that it won't be like any time I go someplace, my wife always says, wait for the moment. Rabbi, go! Any place to go, you can...